Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. Please make sure your seatbelt is securely fastened, your tray table is in an upright and locked position, and that you are ready to get weird and think different. Please prepare for takeoff.
Today is Thursday. It is January 27th, and we are back with another episode of Destination Different. Gotten some feedback the last few weeks that I should just shut my pie hole in this introduction, get right into the guest, get things moving. If only you were so lucky. I'll never shut my pie hole. I will keep talking until these lips don't move anymore. I'm going to give an intro. I'm going to give my thoughts. I appreciate the feedback, and I politely decline. But actually, I don't really have much to say here at the top. Things are going well. I feel like we're going in the right direction. Next week, there will be a big, big, big announcement on this show, on the intro of this show. So next week, tune in. Big announcement forthcoming. I'm going to need all of your help. If you've ever listened to this show before, if you've ever even thought about listening to the show before, I'm going to need your help. So pay attention to the start of next week's show. That's it. That's all I'm going to lay out there. Just a little plea for help will be coming. February is going to be the biggest month of Destination Different of all time. Something big is happening, and I need your help. And now, no more dilly-dallying. I'm going to get right into the guest for this week. We have on the show... Done 100. This is going to be episode 114 of the podcast. I'm pretty positive the guest on this week's show is the weirdest brain that I've had to date. Just an absolute madman in the best kind of way. On this week's show, we have Patrick Dudek, formerly known as Patrick on Cameo. He is a... don't even know what to call him. He is a video creator, a content maker, a prankster, a funny man. He is a native of the internet and is very, very, very skillful at what he does. So Patrick, I'd say is, again, it's hard, he's a hard guy. He's a hard guy to explain. He is creates amazing skits and bits and pranks and funny videos for the internet. Kind of blew up being on Cameo, and for those who are unfamiliar, Cameo is a platform where celebrities, you know, you can pay for a celebrity to wish your grandmother happy birthday or your girlfriend, you know, get her crush to say hello, all that stuff. Patrick is not famous in the normal sense of the word famous, but he's on Cameo, and he has hundreds of people sending him requests for him to just make videos to send to their friends. So he is very good at what he does. We talked all about how he comes up with his comedy sketches. We talked about him hiring paid actors to accompany him on a date. I'll just leave that one at that. We talked about his creative process and how he tries to manage keeping up with content and keeping up with making creative on a regular basis and what he hopes for as the future of a creator and you know, finding ways to make a living and a career out of making amazing videos for the internet. So again, I'll keep it brief here at the top. This is an unbelievable episode, some hilarious stories in here, some good nuggets for anybody who's looking to kind of get into the creative video making space and just genuinely the weirdest, strangest, most different brain we've ever had on Destination Different. I think you are going to love it. I think you are going to laugh, cry. Don't know what else. That's all there is to say. So this week's episode of Destination Different with Patrick Dudek coming at you. I hope you enjoy.
Second elevator pitch. Who is Patrick Dudek?
That first part is part of the show.
Yep. It depends. It depends how good your answer is.
Well, you know what? I feel misled now. You know, reading the Zoom description, I feel like I should have been preparing an elevator pitch. But I guess you can't when you're in the elevator.
You never know.
You know what? I'd probably try to buy more time, maybe hitting like the fire lockdown button or something like that. Try to keep them in the elevator. I don't know. I'm bad at elevator pitches, Ryan. If I got in the elevator with somebody, I think I'd probably just get off at their floor, try to walk with them a little bit, try to find something out, and then just leave without accomplishing.
Do you say your name? Do you say, "Hey, I'm Patrick"? Do you say, "I'm Pat"? "I'm Patty"? "I'm Duty"? This is what I do. Or are you just trying to pick this person for their information?
Let me put myself in the elevator here for a second. I've had some similar elevator encounters. So I guess to give like a little bio would be like, I think of some sort of comedic approach. You want to capture attention in that setting. I had a similar pitch to Mark Cuban. He came and visited Indiana University. I was working on a social media app and went to like a talk that he was hosting. So like got in line, waited outside of the auditorium. Went inside, there was a Q&A after like he spoke, stood up, got in line, and they try to like vet you in line. You know, they're like, "Oh, what are you going to ask?" And so I just had like some stock question that I was
going to. That you weren't actually going to ask.
Yeah. They're like, "What are you going to ask to make sure that you're not just like, you know, I'm going to ask you about Afghanistan or something." And so I go up there and I was like, "Oh, just something about social media." And then I told him that I got the mic. I told him that I was working on a social media project. I had raised $250K, which I hadn't, and would love to talk more, you know, about it with you. And it worked. He was like, "Reach out to me on Cyberdust," which was like his like Telegram at the time.
Yep, I remember that.
Reached out to him there, chatted with a little bit, and then it didn't work. But like, as far as elevator pitch goes, I accomplished next step.
You got his, so you got his attention. Out. Okay. Did it ever come up again? I assume yes, that you did not raise $250,000.
No, there was one press article written. I think I'll share it with you after the show. It's like one picture, but it's only my chest down to my knees. And then there's like a paragraph over me that was like, "Patrick said he raised this much money." And I was in talks to do that. It wasn't super far-fetched at the time, but it just never panned out.
Okay. I was not going to start here, but what was the social app that you're working on? Like, are you technically savvy at all? Or were you more the concept guy and you had somebody to help try and bring this thing to life?
Not like the ones and zeros. And that was the issue, was that I just never found that, you know, never ended up finding that piece or didn't work out. But just more of the marketing side, more of the realm of what I, you know, enjoyed about social media and what I liked about it. And how could I make an experience that encompassed all those things? Vine was popular at the time. Snapchat was, you know, popping off as well. And so there was kind of like a newness with that stuff, kind of like, you know, what you're saying with like a round two and TikTok and things like that. But it was very new at the time. And I just thought I could make like, set out to make a cooler version.
What was it called?
Inner Circle.
Okay.
Inner All Circle right. was the name. Yeah. And I guess we don't need to spend too much time on it, but that was the goal, was just to, you know, make a cooler version. Just wanted to be verified. The easiest way to get verified is make your own app so that you can verify yourself.
And you seemingly went a different route to do that. Okay. Now this was my first real question. I wanted to start you here because it felt like just an appropriate thing to do. You are the fourth ranked Dudek on famousbirthdays.com. You're fourth. Can you name any of the three that are above you on that list?
I think I can name two. I can name two. Anne Dudek, actress,
Yep.
and Jersey Dudek, soccer player.
That is one and two. No idea who's
number three. We gotta take out number three.
So unfortunately, you are not even the most famous Patrick Dudek. His name is also Patrick, but with a Y. He is a Polish motorcycle racer.
That's insane. Three and four are both occupied by variations of Patrick. Well, I mean, his time is running out if he's a motorcycle racer. So I just have to live a stable life and I'll be up to three.
He's 29. So I think, you know, his best years are probably behind him on the bike. So I think it's only a matter of time before you leapfrog him there.
Those categories, they have interesting categories broken up. I think I was like, I don't know, the 12th most famous tourist or something named Patrick. I was trying to, every so often on Instagram, I just put out some death threats to the people in front of me. Nobody really took them seriously. Mm. So,
and I mean, it's probably worth asking or digging into, like, how did you know, build this fourth most famous Dudek in the entire world around you? And it's mostly through creating videos. Like, you have creating social content. I don't know how you personally describe it, but I think, like, you've been able to accumulate an audience online by creating weird shit, for lack of a better term. Like,
weird shit's probably the best term. I would say, yeah.
I don't know if that's endearing. I think it is personally, but when did you start making stuff for the internet? I guess would be where I'd start.
In high school, I mean, I was always into, like, the meme element of things, I guess, you know, if you wanted to define, like, the dumb shit on the internet. So I always enjoyed that. I think it just amplified with, you know, having avenues to go viral on and things like that. Twitter was fun, but didn't have that. You know, you had to spend a lot of time there to go viral. Vine was fun. You could put something out, people could see it. TikTok is great at that now, right? So you could put something out and have zero followers and it'll be delivered to an audience. So that's where I kind of found a home. And I'm very lazy at it. I guess if my elevator pitch wouldn't be like I'm a full-time content creator or anything, I would love to be. I think I'd be great at it. But I would say, like, my audience was kind of built being very passive, of just, like, repurposing old Snapchat videos and things like that that are funny. And then every once in a while, just, you know, making a good content type of video, something to put out.
And have you always been, like, you definitely have a, like, comedic bend to most of the things that you do in one way, shape, or form. Like, have you always been interested in comedy or sketches or whatever? Like, is that always been something of interest to you too?
Yeah, I think, like, if it's not worth doing, if it's not going to be funny, like, you know, if you imagine like showing your friend a video and how painstaking it is, if there's any other reaction other than laughter, is like, you know, if I was standing in front of you with a phone and made you watch something, if it doesn't result in laughter, then like, that's just awkward. It's a miss. And so I guess that's how, like, I've always just approached things with, you know, I really enjoy humor, and yeah, that's kind of my lens.
And, you know, through the last couple of years, you've had, like, seemingly one video after the next of totally varying topics, like themes that sort of pop off on, whether it's TikTok or Vine or Cameo or whatever. Is there one that stands out as, like, the first piece of content that you made that you were like, holy shit, like, I thought this was funny for my group of friends, and then a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of strangers on the internet thought this was funny?
No, I've had that excitement that you're describing, where, like, it's a fun feeling, but I've always approached, like, anything that I think is funny. I think other, you know, it might be, like, very niche comedy, but I think there's an audience of people who would enjoy it. And so, like, I guess if I put something out there, I would be like, either this is going to flop because, you know, doesn't find the right audience, or people appreciate it.
And I know you started building, I don't know, I wouldn't call it I guess it is a brand, as Patrick on Cameo. You were starting to, and so tell me a little bit about that, maybe even start further back. Like, what is Cameo for the listeners at home who don't know what Cameo is? And then how did you, a random ass stranger on, like, start getting people to pay you for clips and videos?
Yeah, totally. So the best way I describe Cameo is a marketplace for celebrities, and they have a price that they set, and you could send a request, write a request in to get, you know, a personalized video back. And I had a friend who worked there, who was working there probably like 3 years ago. And I had seen, I guess Cameo was very new, but I had been aware of it because, you know, you'd see a celebrity video and with a personal twist. And it's like, okay, once you see a couple of those, you recognize that it comes from the same place.
Yeah.
And so similar to just wanting to be verified on my, on an app, or, you know, maybe I like tried to, I went back in my tweets and I think I've sent like requests to be on famous birthdays back in the day, but yeah, like no claim to fame. I think I actually used the article that was written about me raising that money in front of Mark Cuban, sent it to famous birthdays and was like, see,
I'm famous. People,
yeah, if this doesn't do it, I don't know what would. And so I had a friend who worked at Cameo. I had made some of those comedy videos that you mentioned prior, you know, prior to learning about Cameo. I thought it'd be funny to be on there just so I could say I'm like the least famous person on Cameo. Like I could screenshot it, put it on Instagram to 200 people to be like, how the fuck are you on? You know, it doesn't make sense. And so I would just like badger my friend. I'd make, you know, sample videos of things that I think I would do. And eventually he's like, all right, I think I can get you on there. Got me on the app. And then he's like, so the sooner that you could get to like say 25K followers, the better. Like, you don't really belong on here.
And you don't really fit the mold of everyone
else.
Yeah,
he's like, you're not famous. I'm like, I have a ring light. What else do you, I check all the boxes. And so I got on the platform. I knew that I didn't necessarily belong. So I was like, okay, I could either, you know, get kicked off because I'm not famous. It'd be easier to be on there if the company liked the content that I was making. So I was like, if I went viral or, you know, people filmed their reaction videos, if the customer's reaction was good, then like I'd belong on there. So I made it a point to, you know, start curating those. I make videos if a friend sent me a request, or if I made a video for somebody I knew, I'd have them record their reaction and send it to me, which is still candid. You know, it wasn't faked by any means, but just making sure that I closed that loop. And then I had joined TikTok as a result of wanting to stay on Cameo. So I had zero followers. I started using like Snapchat, you know, old Snapchat memories, things like that, putting them on TikTok to gain a following so that I could like belong on this app. So that was like the goal, was to like, once I got on Cameo, is to be like, I'll stay on there. And throughout that process, I just learned like, I think there's an opportunity bigger than just a joke to, you know, 250 Instagram followers. And, you know, that kind of just ballooned, kept working on that, and resulted in me working there full time.
So was there, yeah, I imagine those early days, it's your buddies or like friends of friends who are kind of, you know, dipping in and know who you are. Did you reach a certain point of fame where you had strangers who were like, oh, that's Patrick from Cameo. Like, I need to get a video from him. And I know you were promoting at one point, it was like best $5 you ever spend or something along those lines. At what, like, was there a certain point where you were now getting just strangers that wanted funny videos from you?
Yes. So the name recognition piece that you mentioned, I wasn't like stopped on the street, like, oh my God, like I rear end somebody and they're like, Patrick on Cameo, get the fuck out. I don't need your information. Just send me a Cameo. I didn't have that specific thing play out, but what I did have is if you would do well on the platform, you'd be higher up in, you know, ranking like algorithms or whatever.
Or something. Yeah.
Right. And so I strategically, like, I learned how that would work. And so it was like, for instance, if I left my phone open, there would be like an active now tab that I noticed I was displayed under. So like I'd go to sleep at night and just leave my phone unlocked, open for like, you know, with the auto lock like turned off. So I would do these things where, and my price was $5. So if you sorted like from low to high, you know, you'd see me in certain fields and things like that. So I would definitely, I started generating just like requests from random people. I'll read you some of them. There's some of them are
Yeah,
pretty funny.
let's. I'd love to hear them.
Let me search through a couple here.
How many all time? Like, do you know how many all time you've done?
I've done 100.
Okay. Wow.
And they vary
All at
my
the $5 price point?
all at the $5 price point. To yeah, to me, I mean, I still wanted it's that gimmick of like the best $5 you could spend. And I wanted it to me, it was like $5 is zero. It doesn't matter to me unless I'm charging a price point like to make that worth it. $5 versus 20. 20 was worse compared to five versus, you know, a different amount. And so, yeah. And so I started, I was like, I would make these same videos for free regardless. It's comedy. For me, the cameo request was a way to even generate like certain content that I would make. And so I just used each prompt as like, let me go out and make a comedy video. And my approach that's different than what I saw is every single other, you know, 40 or 50,000 people on Cameo is that they're making a moment that's super, super personal for one person to enjoy. That's the nature of it. You know, hey, Ryan, happy birthday. And showing that same video to somebody else might not have the same effect. I wanted each video I make to be able to have like a mass appeal, you know, so to be able to go viral regardless of what name, you know, was said or you know, someone in Seattle watching could get the same effect out of, you know, a video that was made for you. So that was like my lens is make these videos that have like this mass appeal and kind of change the mold of how that works,
It's
you
kind
know,
of
how it's
funny too,
used.
because you basically are just using them as like a creative prompt to get you kick like jump started on an idea.
That was my lens, right? Yeah, it was like, you know, the podcast that I was working on too is kind of the same approach. It's like a forum where me and, you know, if I was talking to a co-host, we come up with a funny idea and we do it. And then it's more the context is funnier because it's like, oh, this is if you listen to the show, you'd have heard him talk about it. Now they're going out and doing it. It's the same approach of like, oh, you saw that funny viral video where Patrick had a period because you know, faked a period because one guy wanted me to tell his girlfriend to stop nagging him, you know, when she's on her period and has a lot of med school studying to do. It's like to be able to have that extra context where that was from a cameo request is another layer of, you know, entertainment.
So give me some of the best ones that you've got.
All right, let me scroll through here. Gosh, well, you know what? My favorite I never made, and I have the footage, is I got a request for somebody who during COVID, there was someone who reached out to me and said like their friend really misses Broadway plays, and like you know all of them are shut down. They can't go to a Broadway play. So I was like, say no more. I will produce my own play. And so the Cardi B song WAP was popular at the time. I had rewritten Rapunzel as Wapunzel. And then I went out and casted. I tried to find free actors online, which led me to Indian like Facebook casting call groups, and I would just post that like LA is looking for, you know, someone to act in this play. It's like fully remote, whatever. And I just got a ton of these audition tapes. I'd have them read the script and send in an audition tape, and I just have like hilarious readings of people reading these like remakes of Rapunzel with lyrics from Cardi B's song in there, and it's hilarious. I just never ended up putting it out yet, but Maybe that's like a lost tapes one I could go back to.
It's coming soon. I mean, that is hysterical. And it also seems like in kind of following along with you and what you do, you have zero qualms reaching out to anybody on the internet. Like, you know, I listened to some of your podcast and it's like you're talking to Vlad in South Africa or you're talking to so and so. You know, how do you think about that and just cold DMing people or hopping into Facebook groups or posting on Craigslist? Or you guys got a song on Fiverr for your podcast? Like, you have zero issues doing that. And like, what is sort of your approach to leveraging other people for your sake of comedy?
I'm a big Nathan For You fan. I
literally, at the first thing on the top of my list is Nathan For You. I was like, you have even some of your VO, like you kind of sound like him in certain ways.
Yeah, and almost a little too much. I do want to like carve out my own path. So I'm like, don't just become like a knockoff or something. But I really appreciate his line of comedy. Same with like the Sacha Cohen show that did the same thing, Who Is America? Who Is America? And I just appreciate like the setup and the payoff of that stuff. And kind of like what we were talking about earlier is that narrative. It's like, it's funnier if it's authentic. It's funnier if, you know, you can send, if you could say D's nuts to a realtor who's looking for your, you know, who's at cold asking for like your email after 4 months or 2 years of responding to a random forum online. So it's just like, some things pop up and I'm like, you know, I need to inject some humor into this. And I guess that's just the lens that I look at that stuff through. But yeah, I never really had an issue with reaching out to people. I think I'm cautious of how it comes across. I definitely don't want to feel like, you know, take advantage of people or things like that. And so I try to avoid not just the optics, but how that person feel. But yeah, I mean, all in all, the internet's a wild place. People, you know, it's fun to get genuine reactions and storylines and stuff like that. And I think that's like a perk of the internet.
You can tap into 8 billion people if you want to. Have you had some, maybe a two-part question here. Have you had somebody who stands out as like just a really weird one that you've come across that's a total stranger, either in real life or on the internet? And then the second piece of that, maybe a follow-up, is anybody that's like you've been a little nervous where you're like, I regret doing this immediately because this person is scary or can come and find me or anything of that nature.
Like looking back, I worked at a lot of my content is opportunistic. So something will in my head, maybe I'll walk by somebody and I'll think of something that I want to do. Then I'll go back and do it or film something, whatever. And so I worked at a bar. And I would get off work at like 3 a.m. and walk home in Austin, Texas. And I started this like really dumb series where I called it Late Night Bars and Street Guitars. I'd pass this guitar person, you know, this street performer outside who'd play late at night, borderline homeless. And so we jam out on a song. I'd tell people, I'd be like, send in your request. You go like make a song and I'd go chill there. And like, there's definitely moments where I'm like, probably like Guardian Angel time or like some bad things didn't happen to me. Like, I'm pretty sure in the background of one of them, you can see somebody like doing a line of blow and just like, and then I handed my phone to film so that I could be in the video. And I'm like, don't run off with my phone now. And in my head, I'm like, how stupid is that? I got a back scratch from a homeless lady.
A back scratch? Like,
yeah. And it was like a hair scratch. And then afterwards, I'm like, I don't know if I should make that a regular thing. I think that should just be one off. I don't know if I should keep doing that. But yeah, I mean, I guess I'd have to look through some of my old videos and see if there's any like wild, other wild circumstances. But no, there's definitely times where I'm like, someone who looks less like a pussy would probably have gotten punched in the face or like,
they're just like, know, this guy looks harmless enough that he's not going to hurt me. He's not taking my money. He's
they want to donate to me. Yeah, they're like, we don't know why he's doing this. Like, he has way too nice of a phone. Somebody else probably donated already. And I've had some interesting interactions for sure.
Is there, I always am curious of people who do, because you do a decent amount of like man on the street type stuff, or you're approaching people kind of as part of your skits. Like, are you asking them like, hey, this is what the setup is going to do? Or are you totally just like, you got the phone out and you're sort of just recording and hoping for the best? Like, how do you set that up when you're in a man on the street type environment?
I think there's two interesting learnings. One, which like you'll notice in a lot of videos that you come across now, maybe already have, but after I say this, is like when there's a camera on somebody, they just act stupider and like wilder and just do all kinds of dumb stuff. So there's an element of like, they don't even care why you're filming. They want to like interact. And so that's one piece that's helpful when you do that stuff. And then the other piece is like, there's just a lot of bad content that, you know, you would never put out. So it's like a mix of that. It's a mix of like people not even caring what you're doing, but wanting to be involved in it. And and then I guess it just comes with, you know, you do more of it, you get better at it, plan some stuff out. But I wouldn't say it's like fabricated. It's more just like, there's a couple of things that you want to weave into, you know, what's happening.
Yeah. It's like a little bit of a volume game. It seems like, all right, I'm going to film this and hope that, you know, I get something, a good little nugget out of something.
Yeah. I mean, certainly some events are like, you could be licking your chops, like fucking Mardi Gras coming up is like, okay, that would be a super entertaining one. You know, I'd love to go and film there. I just love to do more of that. Like from like a like passionate point of view, if, you know, destination different, if my personality trait is coming out, like I definitely want to keep doing more of that and like long to be doing more of that. I think some of the stuff I've done so far, what I equate it to is like demonstrating or showing that I could, which is, it checks like one of two boxes, right? So it's like, if you were going to be like, let's say discovered or, you know, whatever that would mean to somebody, like some like Barstool Sports wants to work with you or, you know, whatever realm of success would be like, one is like, you have your own audience. Like they don't nobody cares what you're putting out if they think it sucks or not. If you have a, you know, big audience, that's leverage. And I think the other piece is like showing that you can do certain things. So like, definitely like love the man on the street stuff. I've done a couple of those. Loved doing like the podcast, you know, talk forum. Just like, you know, some scripted stuff, some skits, some different things. Like I love doing all that. And then I think like the next piece is just like consistency is huge.
Yeah. You mentioned going back in the archives, looking at your old videos, looking at your Snapchat. You seemingly must record so much and record on your phone, record on, I don't know what else. Do you have a system for filing all your different skits and bits and things that you record? Like, how do you keep track of all the footage and things that you're shooting?
Yeah, I should have a better system, but I folders, you know, on a hard drive, for a while, it's just like, oh yeah, a lot of it was just like memory. But I've definitely put some, you know, put some stuff in like folders and things.
Okay, yeah, I'm always curious. Like, it's interesting. I've, you know, interviewed a bunch of creative type people now, and it's like,
yeah, give me their tips. What do they get?
Well, it's, nobody has any tips. That's the problem. I'm always so curious. I'm like, I am the worst at like organizing shit, and I think it's like, a lot of these people that try and turn from like being just a pure artist or pure creative to then going and like starting their own business or trying to make money out of it. It's like, that is a hard jump for people to make, because there is like the systematizing or making a process or any of that stuff that goes into like actually making money from your art. So I'm always curious. Do you have,
that's interesting.
Yeah. It's like, and it's pretty, I mean, if you think about it, like the lines right now are blurring kind of between creatives, creators, and like business people, you know, operational people. And it's pretty consistent across the folks that I've talked to, where it's like, that's the easy part is doing the painting or doing the video or whatever. The hard part is figuring out like, all right, how do I sell an ad to this show? Or how do I turn this into like an LLC? Like what are the different things that come with that? So it's always that, that's like the tricky part right now, it seems like.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I guess we should go into business or something. I think we can make it work for some people.
I think we need somebody who's smart enough to put things into organized folders for us.
That's a tough one. It's a tough gig.
Do you have a process of any sorts to like to your videos? Because you know, some of your stuff is definitely more scripted out or like pre-planned a little bit than others. Like, how do you think about a video concept from start to finish? And you know, obviously writing the words that you say, or that are the music that you choose, or the 10 shots that you pick out. How do you sort of build a video from start to finish?
Yeah. I've done a few different approaches. Like, obviously if you looked at some of my videos, some are more scripted. They're all have some element of off the cuff, you know, stupidity and thrown togetherness. Which is authentic. You know, I don't necessarily mind that.
I mean, it's very beautiful. I'm looking at this whiteboard behind you. It's very beautiful mind.
That's just show. That's just stock. I was like, let me make it look busy with lots of things behind it. Yeah, there's arrows that are like, do this one. Mm-hmm. Do this one first. Look at this. And then it leads you to something else. No, I think like there's no right answer, but there's more right answers, right? So like your music choice question is, I guess, what I'm focusing on more specifically here. And it's like, if you play one and it's like, this fits so perfectly, this is great, then you roll with it. If not, then I think like in music choices, I found five that I think make a good video, and I just went with one, and I think the other ones could change the whole tone of that. And so I guess what I'm saying is that element, there's probably 10 of those in a certain video. You know, it's like how you shoot it, how you capture that reaction. I put more of an emphasis on planning some things like more recently. I think it's fun to plan ahead of time, write out a script versus, and I guess one caveat with that is like what constraints you put on yourself. Yeah. Right. So it's like, if that's your job, then you're like, I need to put out a certain amount of content, you know, every week, I got to do this, I got to do that, versus, if you don't have those limitations, then you can be a little more free with that. But yeah, I guess I don't have, I should go write down my process. We could sell that in the same course, how to organize the folders.
We'll workshop the name, but yeah, it's like how to make something from nothing.
I love it. No, how to make different things. We'll weave it in. It'll be a podcast experience too.
It needs something, but I was impressed, you know, listening to your guy, you know, listen to the podcast that you did, because there is an element of scriptedness to that. And obviously it was very free flowing and felt natural, but you could tell that there was like, all right, here's topic A, here's topic B, here's topic C, here's topic D. And you guys had a general flow to that. Do you see yourself doing more of that? Do you, like, as you look forward into what you want to do, you know, next year, 5 years, 10 years, like from a creative standpoint, do you see yourself going down a certain rabbit hole more than others?
Yeah, totally. And I guess I'll step back a step. I'll tell you what the podcast was born out of. And I think it's interesting context. And as far as like you asked, you know, what some strategies and stuff. And this is certainly, I think, one that'll give you some more context here. So on TikTok, one of the things that does really well, and it's the same trend across all social networks, but it's amplified on TikTok, is that people want to see one consistent theme across all videos. So on, let's say, pre-podcast, the things I would put out would have no string from one to the next. There'd be funny moments. There would be you know, certain Snapchat things. There would be my friend's dad, like this old guy who's just
big
fucking
Al, was it Big Al or Uncle Al?
Big Al. Yeah, he's just absolutely hilarious. Different themes that would go super viral. But I noticed that, like, I wanted to build a, like, audience that could expect a certain type of content. And as far as TikTok goes, is more important. So you could have less entertaining content that follows the same theme, and that'll find the right audience, that'll be delivered to the right people, versus one-off content. So if you look at my profile, I have my likes way outweigh my amount of followers. So I've got about 6 million likes. I've got about 80,000 followers. If you looked at people with 6 million likes, they might be 100K, 150K plus or more. Mm-hmm. Versus if you look at people with 80,000 followers, that range might be closer to 1 million, 1.5 million likes. And so my goal, and if you imagine how a user would use TikTok, is they see a funny video they like, they want to swipe over and go to the profile and see videos, even just in the thumbnail, that look exactly the same. And that's like how you get people, you know, that's how that person spends. That main goal that I want to solve for with that is that user can go to my profile and spend and get lost for 15 minutes watching one video after the next. So that's like something I recognize.
I did it today on your page.
Yeah, I mean, it still happens. Yeah. But it's like, I think it's much stronger to do, you know, if all videos look the same, there's a sense of, you know, expected value. And so I was like, I think a podcast is an easy forum. I see a lot of it on TikTok. I think it's, you know, it does well. As far as like me planning out skits and things to do around the city, or, you know, I'm not like one to just like film myself at my house. So it's like, podcast seems very low lift. I could film for an hour once every other week and have, you know, a shit ton, have 10 to 15 clips even that could go viral every 2 weeks. And so that was my goal. And so that next step was then just recording the podcast. My goal was like, I didn't really even give a shit if anybody went to the podcast itself. All I want to do is...
You just wanted the clips.
I just wanted the clips. Like, it doesn't matter, you know, the amount of people who go from TikTok to podcast might be, you know, 1%. So, like, I'll cater to them too. I'll have it there. You know, I'll have the YouTube there for them to watch everything. But I didn't really give a shit if that got zero views. I just wanted those clips. And so, yeah, that went, I mean, tremendously well, I think, for like 4 episodes worth of filming. Had about 5 million views off of those clips. So super successful. I got to make my podcast host get back in the booth, back,
get
in,
back
the
in the game.
Yeah, you got to get back in the stew.
And did you find, you know, you guys were doing a YouTube version where you are doing video with the podcast, but did you find anything different about a kind of audio first format versus, you know, what you've sort of traditionally done, which is like, you know, phone, you know, straight to camera talking, or, you know, man on the street type of stuff like that? Did you find that format more interesting than some of the other stuff you've done?
Not more interesting, a little more technical. Like, I think it makes sense to invest, to have good audio, you know, to do it right. It's very important. I think the thing I was most excited about is, and like this mirrors what's popular right now, is, you know, like everybody has a podcast. The idea that that's a forum to, like we talked about earlier, give context to other things you want to do. So for instance, one riff that me and co-host mutual friend Bobby had was that there should be a service that makes you look better on a date. And so the idea was that you could book somebody, let's say, to fake choke in front of, you know, let's say you're on a Bumble date. You could go on an app, pay somebody, they'll show up to that bar, they'll fake choke. You can run over, save a life, impress, you know, your first date, be like, I can't believe that happened. I used to be a lifeguard for a couple of years, but I hadn't had to do that since, you know, since 08, save a life. And so we thought that would be hilarious. So we riffed on that a little bit, but what I loved is the idea to then go out and do the skit. And whereas, let's say on TikTok or on YouTube previously, that might just be a video with the headline of, you know, I did this, I went out and did this skit. It's like, it can start as a podcast clip that can go viral. And then this clip can follow. And there's actually another level of something you did. Mm-hmm. So I love that idea of that being even like premium content in the future, where, you know, you're bought into the podcast itself. And then every week, something that's mentioned in the show is something these people go out and do. And like, that's how I approached it. So I guess it was never audio first. It was more like, this is a like a ends to a greater means of more content, more, you know, it's a YouTube series, it's, you know, whatever. And it starts with just the low lift talking forum.
Well, it's kind of funny having heard you talk about Cameo and now about the podcast. In a way, it's somewhat of a similar format where Cameo, you were using kind of the prompts of submissions as a way for like, all right, I can go out and now create a video for the masses around this. Same as like, okay, this topic that I'm having, me and my buddy talking on a podcast is now like, oh, that's a good idea. Let's go out and make that in real life. It's kind of a cool like idea generation machine, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, it's intentional to have that thought first. Like, you know, I wanted to write that into the podcast or talk about that because like, I have the idea of like, let's go out and do it, you know, or vice versa. It's like, this is the request I'm going to go all out on because I think it's going to make a hilarious, you know, Cameo video or a hilarious just, you know, public video.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think that's cool. I think that's like, it's a good approach for anything you do is like to always do the like yes and approach. It's like, okay, what's, you know, even if you never get there, like what's next with this? Like even the destination different, you know, the next approach is, you know, the people that you've talked to, is their follow-ups, is they're going out and, you know, I guess what that would look like for every kind of different creator. I think it's valuable. And I think it applies mm-hmm. to anything you do. You know, I mean, you see it right now with content creators. They're not just streamers, they're X, Y, and Z. So it's like, okay, if you're doing this one thing, what's the draw to connect your huge audience with this to something else? Or, you know, you love cooking, but you're a video game player. What's that tie in? You know, how do you do? I think it's just all, nothing's like in isolation.
Yeah. The people that do it best are able to kind of create this like entire world around what it is that they're doing. It's not just, I make TikTok videos or, oh, I just make a podcast. It's like, well, I stream and I do a cooking show and I make clothing on the side and I can knit. And like, that's how people sort of, you can kind of like connect all those things together in some weird way. Like those are the creators that seemingly do the
yeah, best totally. Right now. I think that's really important. I think like, I mean, that's very dynamic, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever you do, I think like we're seeing, we're just on the forefront of that. Like that's everywhere right now. Everybody's going to be, you know, doing their own NFT projects, their own this and that. And it's like, the more that you have that context to make all of that make sense, like that's important.
Yeah. I mean, I meant to ask you in your concept around sending the date aid or whatever you guys are calling it. What happens when on, you know, you save somebody on date one, but then on date three, the actual date is choking and you have no idea how to administer the Heimlich maneuver and she keels over and dies on the date. Was that considered at all in this process?
Yeah, that's like the dumb and dumber, like what if he shot you in the face? So I guess that would give, if I was George Costanza, the date dying would give me the out. I'm less concerned about that. I'm more concerned about like going home to the family and then like the grandma's choking or something like that. That would be brutal. Like,
oh, Patrick, he knows how to save her.
Yeah. He could do it. Like, I'm on a plane and they're like, does anyone here know the Heimlich? It's like, you, sir, you must. Your girlfriend says you do. So no, that was the,
it was a minor plot hole that I found in the date aid concept.
I feel slightly bad if that person is listening to, ends up listening to this podcast. I did feel slightly bad about how the date, it went too well. And this is something that we talked about on the podcast too, is like, it's the classic rom-com scenario where like she's going to fall for this hero situation. And so I'll walk you through what happened. So I booked a date on Bumble. And so
is that what they're calling it now? Booking a date?
No, I think that's just what psychopaths call it. I gotta rework that sometimes. I guess if I'm gonna go out and book more dates, I gotta really watch out.
It's like you're going to get a haircut. Okay, yes, you booked a date. I got it.
There is a booking level. I don't know. That's just, yeah, no, I guess that's how it works when you're staging, you know, a choking scene around it. So
got it. Okay.
What do we say nowadays? We say schedule. We're doing a date.
Set up.
Yeah. Okay. Either of those.
Arranged. So. Arranged is maybe weird. Okay. Continue. Sorry.
Right. So we booked this date. We're at the park because I'm like, originally my other podcast host was busy. Again, the context that would have been the most funny is like to focus the story on this choker scene, and so it's just like this date's going on in the background, but we have like this whole backstory setup, like why is he choking, what is he talking to the bartender about, like it's just this very funny storyline. I'd love to have produced like a whole skit like that. And so did it at the park, public place, worked out. I had my friend and his girlfriend came. I was like, you think you could choke? You think you could choke under pressure? So he's like, yeah. Brought him. And then I had a different couple set up like 10 feet further back with a camera, like kind of just propped towards us. And we're doing the date. I had this whole rundown. I'm like 20 minutes in. You can't do it too early. We got to get to know each other a little bit.
Yeah.
Hitting it off. I really enjoyed the time. Aside from this whole plan scheme during this, I really enjoyed the authentic time.
Did you know when you booked this date that you were like, this is the girl that I can build a whole story around? And like, were you looking for that in her profile too?
No, I wasn't being choosy because the booking, you know, the options were slim in my yes section, but I was excited that I was like, I think this will work out, but for no reason of like, you know, characteristics or something. And so, we show up, we're hitting it off. The choking commences. I took the most obscure path to go.
It's a very roundabout route. It's a very roundabout route.
It was very roundabout. And so I started saving my friend paid actor's life. Meanwhile, my date's just like covering her mouth, like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. I do that. I'm like, are you good? Like, are you all right? Walk back to my date. And she's like, you just saved a life. And I'm like, yeah, I guess I did. And she's like, you're not even like nervous. Like, there's no adrenaline. Like, I was just flat. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, I guess I did. And she's like, aren't you like, you look so nervous. And I was like, oh, I guess it's just like, you know, what did I say? I was like, she's like, have you done this before? Like, why aren't you nervous? And I was like, oh, I'm shaking on the inside. And she's like the dumbest. I'm like, oh, me out here normal. I'm shaking on the inside. And so that went well. She's like, I cannot believe you just did that. Now, a key to all the content creators on there, focus on, you know, your planning, your production quality, because the most entertaining part of the video had poor audio. I had choker friend come up to me and gift me his Rolex for saving his life.
That's taking it too far.
It was the narrative. I mean, it was going to come up with the, it was taking it too far. And then I just imagined it would make the best video. So he gave me that. And I was like, no, no, I can't accept this. You would have done the same for me. So not only did I look good, like I just saved a life, but I also looked insanely generous. And she's like, you just turned down, he was going to give to you his Rolex. Like you just turned down. I'm like, I guess I did. I was like, should I go ask him for it now? And so we had like, just like this, it got too real then because it was just like cute, authentic back and forth that was just built on this complete lie. And so like I get home, I'm getting texts like, don't forget, you just saved a life tonight. And I'm like, oh God. I'm like, I got
it. She's in. She's deep.
I'm like, it's too deep. This is like nightmare scenario. It was like, it works too well. Like we proved out as far as a business model, this shit works. So yeah, I'm like, oh my God. She's like, don't forget, you like saved a life tonight. She like sent me a meme about like me saving a life. And I'm like, oh God. And I should have told her right there. I called her the next day. She's like, you want to hang out again? And I'm like, yeah, that's great. I like FaceTimed her. And I was like, by the way, I got to tell you, like, might not have been completely honest about one part of our date. I was like, you know that part about like the person who was choking, whose life I saved? I was like, that might have been like I was testing out this business idea. And she was okay with it in the moment and slightly confused. And I think like she came to her senses a little bit later and was like, I can never talk to this person again. Like what a weirdo. And my guess is I think she was like, she told her like group chat, like she went on this first date and the guy saved a life. And I'm just like, oh man, this is like every, you know, romantic comedy ever, where now I have to be like, our relationship was built on this lie, but what we had was real, but whatever. And then it was a nightmare.
So long story short, after that FaceTime, no words were spoken again.
No words were spoken. I think on the TikTok video, one of her friends commented and was like, this is not cool. Like, I know this person, this is not cool. And I'm like, I know, but I was really just testing this out to see if it was viable. Now we've got some great learnings. We could reel it in. Maybe choking isn't, you know, is like the pro model.
That's not the way to go. Yeah.
Yeah, that might be the pro model, and like, you know, the simpler might just do like a couple simple things. But
how quickly after, you know, the breakup happens on FaceTime, are you like cutting this video together, editing it, getting ready to put it out? Like, are you immediately like, get me that footage? I need to see everything. We're cutting this. We've struck gold.
Oh, I mean, I was planning on doing that immediately. Like, you know, right when I got home, my friend sent me like a quick clip and I'm like, this is just so funny. And I mean, it was great. Honestly, like doing 10 more of those would be hilarious. You know, going somebody who like gets their purse stolen and I like run and track the guy down, give the old lady's purse back. Like there's so many funny different moments, you know, that alone could be like a 10 weekends worth of, you know, funny video.
Are you going to be the new West End Caleb?
Oh, that guy is, it seems like he's loved and hated.
Which yeah, I think you could live that. I think you could live that life.
I'd love to. Yeah. I mean, you know what you need is you need the name of, you can't just be Patrick or, you know, Patreon cameo is a little bit closer, but you need something, whether it's West Elm. I think that means now like IKEA Patrick could take off. Like everybody's going to want to get in on, you know, on the same type of thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, I could see this being a future series for you. Just a couple rapid fire questions for you here to close out. Do you have a favorite bit that you've ever done? Now, obviously this date bit could be something that, you know, sticks. You've had yard sales. You've had, let's see, Drunk on Thursdays, Pimper Simp. You've had Big Al, you know, you've had kind of these themes throughout your content history. you've getting back scratches from homeless. Like, is there a theme that stands out as a bit that you really enjoyed?
The garage sailing one, I think people would say, and I would agree that like, I loved doing that. It was very entertaining. I think I should be like making one of those a week and going garage sailing. There is just ridiculous shit that I found at each different garage sale. Crazy people, awesome people. I'd love to even do like documentary style, like the setting up of a garage sale, the pricing of it. One of the garage sales I went to, there was a lady who had built out a yard sale manual, like it said yard sale manual on it. And she had like hacks of like how to, she's like, oh, price the things at the front this amount to like get them into your driveway. And then like do this. I'm like, it's a fucking garage sale. And so I love that. I would love to, like, I imagined like doing a documentary of her setting it up and stuff. So I love that one. I would do this thing where when I'd get a new haircut, I'd go around town and act like people noticed. And I'd go up to people, you know, in passing and be like, oh, like, thank you. And they'd be like, what? And I was like, oh, I thought you just said you liked my haircut. And then they'd be like, no, I didn't. Don't ever talk to me ever again. And so I enjoyed that. And I think like there's a theme there that's very funny that could be used for anything, you know, regardless of haircut or whatever. Just more like man on the street stuff. But yeah, I mean, I like doing a lot of different things. Like I'd love to just keep doing what
keep
I,
you playing. Know, if I, yeah.
If I think something's funny, do it again, like, you know, some sort of consistent theme to thread those together.
The yard sale bit was fantastic. At one point you did simulate a period. And what it was like for a man to have a period. That was maybe in all of your content, maybe the most hate that you've gotten on the internet. Tell me a little bit about the hate that stemmed from that video.
A lot of good learnings. That's like, if you want to like encapsulate, I know one of your questions or a couple earlier were geared towards this, is like, that's like the most fun that you could have, like, trolling on the internet. Like, if what does success of a funny video look like for me is like it goes viral, but then also like there's people weighing in on it with like random context or like just totally missing the point. They weigh in on it, somebody else like comments on their stuff, like it's just a madhouse. And I think that video encapsulated it. If you like read the comments and things too, yeah, like I for context on that video, we mentioned it earlier, that that stemmed from a Cameo request, which I'll find for you really quick. I don't want to butcher the exact request. I'll give you the rundown. Okay, so the request from Cameron says, for Olivia, please tell Olivia, my girlfriend, just because she's on her period and is stressed out from all the work she has at medical school, she doesn't have to bring me down in the dumps with her. Feel free to be rude and add whatever else to it. Thanks. And I'm like, what an asshole. So I'm like, I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to do, I can't comment on a matter that I haven't personally experienced.
Right.
I'm going to go out. I'm going to see what all the hype is about. I'm going to see why women have been gatekeeping these periods from us. You know, and I went, I experienced it for myself. Now I could weigh in on it, and I ended up siding with her. You know, I was like, Cameron, until you do it, you know, don't knock it, this is serious. And so yeah, I mean, the videos, people would stitch that video. I had a Harvard student who like wrote multiple books on periods being like talking side by side of my video and being like, okay, a dog's shock collar duct taped to your chest is not a good representation of a period. And then like, oh, you know, this does not simulate bloating correctly while I'm eating like an all rice burrito and running a 5K. So it's just like the juxtaposition of those two together is like, gave me absolute joy. And, you know, the comment sections and just like the chaos that ensued was just like, I love that.
Do you like being a troll?
I wouldn't say that's like in my nature, like, I guess, or like, you know, I don't know, that has like a bad connotation, but I guess more of it's just like playing the that character a little bit of like people don't understand the joke, and the people who do understand would find this reply back the funniest. Mm-hmm. And so that's what, you know, that's what I do. And so it's not just like me again, like maliciously doing anything. It's more just like, okay, if I say this back, there's a chance that I get like this response, which would just be absolutely hysterical. And so that's like kind of what fuels the troll.
You clearly have aspect. A good pulse on what people are, what levels you can turn to get people to react to things. I feel like this is probably terrible radio because I'm just asking you about videos that probably nobody that people have not seen. But
this could be a good episode of we can stitch this. So yeah. You can, you know, let's use the video of you saying put stuff, be talking about it, overlay some of the comments, overlay some of the shit.
We can make it work. Your best man speech at your brother's wedding, potentially, I don't know if it is your biggest video ever.
Absolutely is. Yeah. And that's like single-handedly, I guess, did the most for like my career or content stuff. It's probably got over like 25 million views in various, you know, places. I've seen it posted a shit ton of times. I loved it. That was like awesome. Every time I watch it, I still get enjoyment out of it. I love the idea of doing stand-up, and I think that's like the closest realm or like mirror of what stand-up would look like. So I thought that was a really cool aspect. I'm happy that like people, again, like just checking that box of like, this is something that, you know, stand-up up with a mic that people would enjoy. Like that's a good medium. I really got a lot of joy out of that aspect. And yeah, when I rewatch it, I'm like, it could have been way better in terms of delivery and cadence and stuff, but people loved it. It was very popular. It got me, you know, a lot of followers from that. And yeah, I'm excited to do more things that look like that.
Does your family, maybe spinning off of that, does your family watch all of your content? Do they appreciate all of the things that you make? Like, how do they feel about your internet side?
My mom watches it like a mom, where like, sometimes I have to be like, oh, should I like block her from seeing my Instagram story before I post? Like, way too much real estate in my head to be like, I have to shield my mom from just like this joke she's not going to understand or like just something stupid. And so it's really funny though, because like she's still like supportive of that stuff despite it being so stupid. So that's funny. I think like she watched that period video in front of me, like on the couch, like I could hear it in like her watching it. And then I'm like looking over like, oh God, I wonder if she's laughing. Then she'll like show my dad. And I can just feel like it's probably like, what is going on with my kid? But yeah, all support. And I think it's just another layer of humor.
And your brother and his wife appreciated the speech.
Yeah, I was so happy that like, and being broke, that like I could be like, oh, that's my gift to you. That great entertainment will last like 5 anniversaries now. And yes, super happy about that. He gets like his nickname from that is that joke I made about, you know, him being a bagel. Like,
yeah,
people will call him that. And he would get like that sent to him from other people to be like, or from other people being like, hey, like, didn't you have a wedding? Like, is this your brother talking about you and things like that? And so again, just like the viral nature of like other people seeing it and like being like, I think I saw your wedding speech, is like, that just like made my week.
That's amazing. All right. So the last question I ask everybody on this show, I sign off every episode with the sign off of stay weird. So Patrick, what makes you weird?
Oh yeah, probably everything we just described. Probably the fact that I spent 2 minutes on an elevator pitch and still didn't have an elevator pitch.
that is a wrap on this week's episode of Destination Different, with the fourth most famous dudek in the entire world. Fourth most famous. Who would have thought on this show, fourth most famous dudek in the whole wide world. Thank you to Patrick for coming on. Absolute gem, absolute wild man, fantastic stories. Brilliant, brilliant. There's no other way to describe him. One of a kind, brilliant brain on that kid. And he is so good at what he does. He is so funny. And it was just a treat. It was a treat getting to talk to him. So I'm thankful I had the chance to just shoot the shit with him for an hour and a half that he took the time out to spend with me. So major, major thank you to Patrick. If you want to follow along, if you want to check out some of his videos, it's pretty much Patrick Dudek across Instagram, TikTok, Cameo. I'll make sure we get him linked up in the description of the show so you can follow along and check out some of his viral hits that we discussed in the show. Like I said at the top, next week, big, huge, monstrous announcement. Less of an announcement, more of a challenge. But it's big news. It's big news. I need your help. I am going to need the listeners of this show to rally and help me win something. That is the secret that I'm giving you. Please tune in next week because we are going to just get this thing rolling into February. So that's it. We will see you next week, next Thursday, with another episode of Destination Different, with a big challenge for the listeners of the show. Until then, stay weird.
Superpowers. We fell in love for just a couple hours. I can't tell the difference between what's fake and what's been missing. Often I'm misunderstood, so I'm looking for a better me. This is your love song, baby.